This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. We're joined now by Jackie Vanks at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the agricultural commodity markets. Jackie, thanks for being with us. I want to start with crude oil because the price of crude has crashed, and it looks like it's going to stay low, as we talked with Harry Cooney yesterday in the ag energy market, for some time because OPEC decided they were going to, as Harry put it, defend their spigot or the supply of crude that's coming out rather than the price of crude. And it has a wide and broad impact across futures in all kinds of sectors. What's happening now?
It really does. In fact, if you look at crude oil right now, we're at the lowest prices we've seen since June of 2009. And that's significant because if producers roll back in their mind to 2009, we realize that that was not a very good year for us. Why? Because ethanol prices were higher than unleaded gasoline prices. At the moment, we did see production slip on the report that came out today. The margins are down, but at the moment they're still positive, so that's good. And it certainly has an impact on this new fracking business that we have going on here in the United States, because over the weekend, one of my sources told me that basically fracking exports just dried up outside the United States. And so I think that the statement, you know, that they're going to defend their spigot is exactly the truth. When you saw them come in and say they were not going to reduce it to push the price higher, and the Saudis were the ones that were really adamant about that, I believe that was being done, and exactly what you and I have talked about before, an effort to slow down fracking. And then that has another tumble effect, because we saw rail shuttle car rates drop dramatically. $6,000 in October, supposedly $600 right now for a shuttle rate. That's huge. And what that implies, of course, is that maybe some of the grain will start moving around the way that it is supposed to. And so when you look at crude oil, I mean, crude is everywhere in everything, no matter how you look at it, in the clothing you wear, in the desks you work at, in the seats you sit on, it's just everywhere. And so it has far-reaching implications. And for us, I think that the most important one, of course, is the ethanol industry, because even if we drop prices and we spur demand for corn, if we lose usage on the ethanol side, we really don't make any headway. And so then let's add to that the fact that the U.S. dollars hit 89 today. That's the highest price that we've seen there in the U.S. dollar since March of 2009. Just to put it into perspective, from an export impact standpoint, that the exchange rate today with Japan between the dollar and the yen is 1.1981. That means March 381 corn is 4.56 before you ship it. That is going to come home to roost on us at some point in time down the road. And when you looked at Informa's numbers that came out today, you know, they on the corded side of things, the significant number that I looked at is they lowered the world numbers because they think Brazil and Argentina are not going to produce as much. But they significantly raised the China production number. And, you know, that's an area that, well, if we don't get it from Japan, we need to get it from Mexico, or we need to get it from China. Those have been the big draws for us. And so I think we just have to be very cautious at this stage of the game. And, you know, in general, across the board today, we saw funds being heavy sellers. They've been heavy sellers yesterday. And it just says that the same type of hot air that brought us up can take us back down. Now, we had a really nice close today, and I think that's in anticipation of export sales tomorrow morning. So I think there was some profit taking at the end of the day, and that'll set the tone for everything else.
So crude sets the tone across the whole of the marketing sector in large part. And then as we look at, for instance, corn, I'm wondering what you're thinking about producers who have shut the bin doors and what that means for them today as opposed to last week on this same day before and after Thanksgiving and the OPEC meeting.
Well, I think what it means to them is, you know, anytime we do that and take that type of a step, we have to recognize, you know, that we need to be looking, is there carry in the market and we need to protect it. But even more than that, and I understand that a lot of guys put it in the bins because they didn't want to sell any corn before the new year. We hear that every single year, and it's not any different this year. But this year, I think it has a greater impact because what we're now doing is we're taking that marketing year and we're condensing it down and reducing it by at least 2 months. If you look back to 2013, I went into the NAS data. Nationally, 33% of the corn was sold before January 1st. Of the crop. Now, when you look at the size of our crop, I don't believe that that's the case for this year. I can't get stats on that yet. And then from January to May, we sold another 39%. That's 72% of the crop is normally sold by the time we go back onto the land and we begin to plant again. And so now let's take and say, I don't know what to say for how much was sold this year, but let's say we sold half as much. We sold maybe 16%. That means that 56% of that corn now is going to be condensed down into that January through May time frame. So in the short term, we probably have some pretty good basis opportunities. There's no question that we should be taking advantage of some of that. In the long term, we could really see it become a very negative situation to basis as well as potentially to price, because if that much crop is still sitting in farmers' hands, when it comes into the elevator sells the board to protect themselves from having paid too much. You know, that's a typical risk step that they take. And so that has implications for the futures price, and then trying to push a lot of things together in a short period has implications for the, you know, for the basis besides.
Turn your attention from old crop to new crop and acreage battles. What might be the horizon at this time, what we know, for instance, about the sale of seeds in the United States, what kind of information do we have?
Well, we did see some info today, Todd, that came out actually from Monsanto. They said that their bean sales are ahead of last year. I'd have to think that that might be sticker shock when you look at the fact that corn seed does not appear to have come down in price. I thought it was interesting because they did say this is an extremely difficult selling environment. In other words, we're probably higher priced than most of our competition. And so in talking with a lot of seed people, you know, they're saying the same thing. Either seed sales have been relatively slow or they've seen more beans being sold. I think when you look at when I crunch numbers and actually look at the difference between the two, because we have a higher input cost on corn, of course, we have to have a higher price to be able to justify what's going, you know, being able to plant it. But I don't anticipate that we're going to see a tremendous amount of shift here in this part of the world, but the shift is most certainly going to come up in North Dakota. You know, like Jerry Gahlke said last week when we were at the meeting, you know, that's where we're going to see it. We're going to see it maybe down in the south also at the same time. But another little twist here to the whole thing is, okay, we're all figuring that we're going to see less corn acres and more bean acres because of the price comparisons. Okay, we get a ratio of, 2.38. But we're also hearing that we might see an adjustment to the APHs. In other words, they may drop out the lowest APHs in an effort to keep corn and bean acreage more balanced. You know, the other year they raised the APHs by 11 bushels. Will that type of thing happen again? And, you know, then that can throw a whole clinker into everything. But at this point in time, I'd have to say that most people are expecting that that's what's going to happen. And so our focus as we move through the rest of this week and into the beginning of next week will be the USDA report that comes out next week, Wednesday. And I think the majority of people think it'll be a very blah report because we normally don't see any acreage changes on it or anything else. I'm not of the opinion anymore that there are blah reports. I'm going to put my seatbelt on when 11 o'clock comes around. And so extremely interesting markets. And I think, you know, that to me says, Todd, that if you're a producer in this marketplace or an end user in the marketplace, you've got to get yourself positioned so you're ready for whatever the market's going to do and take advantage of the opportunities that we've had. You know, we're just so very fortunate that we had the rally that we did, because there would have been a lot of guys who would have had to sell corn at a much lower price due to all the logistics problems and everything else. So we have to keep in mind, just because the market goes up doesn't mean it can't go down again.
You mentioned next week's report. Of course, monthly, the USDA releases the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and there are obviously a series of reports that come out from private sectors prior to those estimates. I think there are some Informa numbers out. Have you read through those?
Well, yes. I looked them over. You know, basically, they primarily were talking world, you know, which is pretty normal too, and doing a little bit on U.S. But when you looked at the big numbers, like on corn, they dropped the world by 2 million metric tons. Well, that's not very much, okay, but it is down from last year. China was higher. The U.S. was slightly lower, okay. EU came in slightly lower. Brazil came in much higher. Ukraine came in almost the same, and so it's almost anybody's guess on that. And beans, basically, there was just a slight drop in Argentina, but they actually raised Brazil's numbers, and so, hard to say there where anything. And when you look at wheat, well, you know, when you got wheat sitting up in the $6 and the high fives compared to corn that's sitting at in the threes and fours, there's not a competition situation there from a standpoint of feed, and so it doesn't pencil anymore. And so the wheat is going to be dependent entirely on what goes on in the world. In other words, you know, is Russia actually going to ban any wheat usage? Is Ukraine's crop going to be as bad as they think it might be? All of those types of things. But the market itself today pretty much said, well, we might have overdone that just a little bit. And they took back all the gains we had gotten the other day.
Jackie, thanks for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.